I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I like science, so that's why I brought my slinky.
Now, I think he's the future of, like, sports.
You can never have enough slinkies in the world. You never know when you might need one.
When he's in the booth on EI, I love it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Slinky challenge, science. Here we go.
It kind of annoys me sometimes that, like, Brad Froh, he's not, like, in that upper echelon of EEI characters, but I think he should be. Like, take Wiggy to the
I'm a fan of Wiggy, too, but
everyone loves Wiggy. I like Reamer.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
So he's the one, yes. That was our friend Will Noonan, a big fan of the show. Had kind words for all three of us a few weeks back.
Have you been on his podcast?
Not yet.
I thought that was going to happen.
Not yet. No.
Well,
I mean,
well, you now have a podcast. Congratulations,
launching soon,
Alex.
Yes. The Lone Reamer.
The Lone Reamer.
At Lone Reamer Pod on Twitter.
At Lone Reamer Pod.
Soft launch over the weekend. Started following a couple of WEI personalities and friends.
I can't find it. I'm looking forward to...
At Lone Reamer Pod, Jermaine Wiggins. I don't know if I followed JWiggs85. We'll do that during the commercial break. So yes, look out this week for a hot video to come from the Lone Reamer Pod, and then Rob will be off and running for Pod Combination. Yes.
Is that what it's called?
It's the Pod Combination.
Bradfoe's Shadow Radio
Station. So it's
station,
a vertical.
Basically.
Vertical. It's called. It's a vertical of WEEI.
Yes.
And by the way, so sure. Because we're talking about the Pod Combination Station in your podcast, big event at Lord Hobo on Tuesday.
I was just going to mention.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
You can Tuesday say it. Night at 7 o'clock, Lord Hobo and Woolburn, obviously a friend of the podcast, Bradfoe Show. But the launch of the Off Day Pod, which is our football podcast,
right, with
Ryan Hannibal and Andy Hart, and Jermaine Wiggins,
sure.
Has committed to being there as well.
Well, Wiggy's part of the Sunday Skate Podcast.
Yes.
The Skate Podcast.
That was that, yeah. So you know what it's like to be part of the Pod Combination Station. It was it's a thrilling event.
I want to get to that at one point
We still got Wiggy's World Podcast, which they...
Well, you have to earn your way in.
Well, no, they want that to be part of it. But, you know, we're still talking numbers right now because, you know, that podcast is, you know, that was a huge podcast.
Yeah. That was when you recorded, like, on your phone, right?
I think it was some contraption, he said. but you were on. You were on the Skate Pod. There's a lot of our podcasts going back and forth on the skate. I got to be honest, red hot. And you went on. And
that took it to another level.
Yeah, you stirred up the hockey community.
Oh, yeah,
you did.
I love the hockey people when they find out your takes. Like, they all go crazy when you suggest, you know, maybe the Bruins could trade Patrice Bergeron. I mean,
yes.
Wiggy, that is...
I asked the question.
That's a third rail here.
Well, I asked the question. You know, somebody like me was a hockey expert. You know, people are like, well, how do you know hockey? I said, well, you know, I'm an MVP of my Bear League. So in order to be an MVP of a men's Bear League at Hockey Town...
You got what you're talking about?
And Bradford's coached me before.
I've coached
hockey,
him. I know. He's the type of guy, when you're coaching, he can aggravate you, but you know you need him on the ice.
Right,
exactly. My hockey knowledge runs deep to my days when I was a fan of Joe Nieuwendyk for the Calgary Flames.
Oh, who could forget?
I don't even know who that is. So there you go. The hockey knowledge for Wiggy, far superior to mine. But we are back together again. Good morning, everybody. Hello. Big win for the Sox last night, Rob. I'm sure that made you very happy.
Why?
Brought a smile to your face.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
If it was like a 2-hour game, that would make me very happy.
Long games.
I don't care.
Lots of long games.
I don't care.
It's
a storyline.
It's good for business when the Red Sox are in contention.
It will be good for business if the Red Sox are in contention for the playoffs. Yes. And they don't fall out of it, and they don't make... We don't have Bobby Valentine around anymore, so irrelevance in terms of wins and losses, unless you have a Bobby Valentine, can be very, very dangerous.
And I think one thing that I have kind of taken out of this weekend, you know, because the hot topic of last week was sell, buy, stand pat. That's what everybody wanted to know after reading Bradfoe's column today. I'm looking at, all right, the Sox are three games back in the second wild card spot, but then Bradfoe kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit.
Most runs in baseball over the last 30 games.
It looks like that'll
only take you so far.
The Red Sox should be buyers because they'll be able to hit their way to the postseason.
Well, the numbers bear it out, Wiggy.
Right.
I'm not just throwing things against the wall.
There were a lot of numbers
since, June 13th, you look at the most runs in baseball, the best OPS in baseball, the best batting average in baseball. I think they're 19-11 or something like that, and they're doing that with an ERA of about 5.5 or something.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this rotation, talk about all the money invested in the starting staff. Porcello did get the win last night, but 6 runs in 5 innings against this atrocious Orioles lineup, not good. He threw one of the slowest fastballs of his career a few days ago against Toronto. We know about Chris Sale's struggles, though he did win Thursday afternoon. And David Price, of course, the Red Sox are 3 back because of him in the egg that
are
he
they?
Laid Friday night. Yes, at Camden Yards. As Dennis Eckersley would say, yuck. And that is where I would like to start here because...
Well, you were in the heart of it.
And the aggregation that was heard around the world, of course. Who knew that me sitting in my on my
now,
bed
I'm not
in my
clear,
underwear
so
would
and
create
I learned,
so much
and I
noise?
Learned what, I learned what... Aggregate.
Yes, it's basically
well, which is what you'll be doing when you're hired here. At Wiggy,
aggregate a story.
Oh, Wiggy's going to be one of our new
.com
contributors.
Our content
great.
Miners.
Well, I saw Bradford when all that Eck versus Price thing was like, listen, it wasn't the Eck versus Price that made David Price have a Brad Stott. I saw. Did you tweet that out or something? Did you say something of those?
Oh, well,
along
I
those,
don't know where you go. What
along the
it
lines?
It was your column yesterday that yes. David Price was
oh,
just
Price?
Bad.
Yeah, I mean, that
yeah,
was,
he was just
that,
bad. It had nothing yeah, because you know what?
I don't think I had. Listen, we've gone through this. Price goes up and down. He's had plenty of these moments. It's either you're good or you're bad.
But you know
bad.
People are going to instantly go to the reason why he had that bad outing is because
he was consumed by it.
Yes.
Well, I'll say that. Sure. I mean, you have this huge temper tantrum, and that's what it was, a temper tantrum. As someone who's thrown a few in his day, I know one when I see one. That's what David Price had this week about Dennis Eckersley. And then you go out and lay an egg, 2 home runs, 6 runs against this awful Orioles lineup. It is an absolutely terrible look for David Price.
I want to say this because we're going to get to your role in this whole thing, Alex.
And your other column.
I would ask this to like the people who are saying, "Oh well, Alex Reamer was the one that got this going." So far,
I mean, he
so
did on. See my headline.
He did. That was
I mean,
good.
Yes.
Well, the takeaway is that WEEI is very, very powerful. WEEI.com. This is where everyone goes for their news. So forth and so on. David Price is no
more
exception.
More like a battleship.
Exactly. So, when Dan Shaughnessy writes his story yesterday,
I have that.
Dennis Eckersley, where Eckersley says a good story, good column. Eckersley says
the Bob's quote at the end is incredible.
Yeah. So, well, that's my point. So, Price, the story is Price. I mean, I'm sorry. Eck says that Price is his new Kirk Gibson.
Right. Everyone asks him about it wherever he goes.
Okay. So the Boggs quote, which is at the very end. Are we not supposed to take that quote and highlight that quote and make a post of that quote? Are we allowed to do that? Are we allowed to do that?
And that quote Bog said that everybody loves Eckersley, something along those lines, right?
Yeah, he rips Price.
Everyone in the game loves Eck. He was a great teammate. David Price, please, Wade Boggs says. You should ask me what it used to be like to play in Boston. These guys today don't hear any noise compared to the stuff that was aimed at us. I mean, seriously, yuck. Give me a break.
So this is the last quote. This is at the very end of the story. This is the very end of the story. Are we not allowed, are places not allowed to take that quote and make a separate post of it? Because, by the way, that quote is a different story in itself. That is a former player talking about this situation. And so that's what's baffling me about what happened with you, Alex, which, you know, we know what the right and wrong. We can sit here and we can feel pretty good about where we're sitting. But for those people who had any criticism at all of Alex of taking that quote from Chad Finn's story, it's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing
of all
time.
So you're saying it's part of the business. See, the thing that I went back to last week and when this thing first came out, I kind of, you know, started, you know, as Chris Sims would say, getting in the weeds and trying to figure out what this story was all about. I went back to one person, and I this is where I disagreed with you, Reamer, on your other column that you wrote where you kind of said this is a...
David Price and only David Price is to blame
for the
resuscitation of this
feud. This is a one-way beef.
Yes,
This thing was all started now from what we've seen in the past couple of days, in my opinion, by one guy and one guy only, and I've said it before. I don't know him personally. I've never met him, but I said Dennis Eckersley, and I put a lot of the blame on him for where we are right now, Because, and the reason why I did that, and everybody was like, well, I looked at the quote that he had in the Chad Finn story, and then I didn't blame Chad for, he's doing his job. He's
sure.
You know, it was a very long profile.
Nobody, Chad Finn was blaming Chad Finn, as he's pointed out
numerous times, Rob, it was a 3,500 word piece. He only spent 2 minutes over multiple days talking about the price incident.
And this is where I go, and this is where I go to Eckersley, who should know better. He was a sensitive player when he played. He and I forget who said this. I can't remember who said this. Somebody had said, Dennis Eckersley was David Price when David Price played. Yeah. I heard that on the radio.
He said it. Dennis Eckersley was Dennis Eckersley David Price?
Well, yeah, somebody said that on the radio.
Oh, well, that's not true.
Well, they said as a player, you know, meaning sensitive, had rabbit ears, heard what people said, that kind of thing. I don't mean exactly his performance. I just mean as far as his personality.
But you go through everything that Dennis Eckersley went through as a player, and that's what that profile was about. Yes. You talk about him battling alcoholism, giving up one of the most famous home runs in baseball history to Gibson.
We are highlighting the quote about Price because we don't care about all that other stuff.
Exactly, right, and that's the point. The reason why I aggregated, to use that word again, that one quote and put it in the headline is because that was the newsiest portion of the profile. It was a very small portion of the profile. Yes,
by the way, if you're
a current-day Red Sox fan, Price Eckersley, that was the newsiest
piece of it. You're seeing that, you're right. When you're a current-day Red Sox fan and you're seeing that story, the first thing I'm looking for is exactly that, and it was a very small part of it, but still it was part of it. And, Wiggy, to go to what you're saying is that you're blaming Dennis Eckersley. What I would ask you this is that, okay, it was Eckersley responded. He didn't respond.
But there's a better way to respond.
Okay, fine. If you feel that way, that's fine. But do you think that Price's reaction to it was proportional to what X said in that story?
I think where Price went wrong is in his reaction was, and this I believe was more for minions, you know, putting a bug in his ear, was when he said that no one like Eckersley, and he didn't have no former teammates that did that special, that the special of the
MLB Network
which is just a lie, because six teammates are interviewed during it.
It's really not that difficult. I mean, to use that as part of your argument, your main argument in front of everybody, is bizarre.
Well, and that's why I said I think Price went wrong there, but I think Price is at this point now, and based on who he is and his personality, just from what I've been able to see since he's been here, it seems like he's one of those guys that has no problem with when he feels like somebody's taking a shot at him. He doesn't have a problem with going lower and that kind of thing.
That's where we disagree. I don't think Eckersley took a shot at David Price at all.
This is where I have to stop people.
It was a curt comment. I think the comment had a little bit of edge to it, no doubt about it. I mean, I don't plan on seeing him never. That's certainly a curt statement, but...
It goes when I can give a bleep about when he says that part of the quote as well.
Well, I don't really give a bleep one way or another. I don't really think he cares one way or another. That's Eckersley saying, I don't care about it. I don't think he cares about it. Here's where
you're missing the point. Like, a lot of people that speak on this are missing the point, because the first thing you said out your mouth is, well, I don't understand why this would bother Price. You don't understand why it would bother Price from how you view it. But in Price's mind, because we know he's sensitive, that might be something that bothers him.
Well, it's a trigger. I mean, there's...
Right, but for people to instantly go, well, I don't understand why Price is upset. He's not saying anything. This wouldn't bother me. Stop putting yourself the way you are mentally and trying to say, okay, Price needs to think this way. We already know how Price thinks.
Oh, I'm somebody with rabbit ears. I sympathize with David Price and relate to David Price in that aspect. But Eckersley said, I don't care one way or the other.
Right.
I don't think he cares one way or the other.
But clearly
that is
a rather
neutral statement. Well, yeah, right. Eckersley gave Price too much credit. You're right. Obviously,
right.
David Price still cares about it. And so David Price sees my aggregated headline, right? Dennis Eckersley still baffled over David Price airplane ambush. I don't plan on seeing him never. So that's a bit of a provocative quote, which is what we're supposed to do, get people to click. I can understand why David Price would see that on Twitter, quote tweet it, go off a little bit. You're in the moment. It's fine. It happens to all of us. My bigger issue is then hours later in the Red Sox clubhouse. So Price has had numerous hours to read the full Eckersley comments.
Do you really think he's doing that, gather himself?
He better.
Doing what?
Before
like reading all the.
He should, but that's. But this
he
is
better.
So before. This is where David Price gets in trouble.
This is how it works for athletes, right? A guy comes up to you that works for PR, right? You know, and football, it's the Stacey James. It's like, hey, be on the lookout for this. This was said about you.
Right.
Or this was tweeted about. Well, you know, now when I played, Twitter wasn't out there. But this was said about you. This is what they're saying on the radio, the TV, this, that, that. Now David Price, this is what's tweeted about you. So he doesn't know the full context
of. But to Alex's point, This is he should. You're right. You're
yeah,
right.
But he's
this,
got better that's how it works. You're supposed to go read every column. No.
Wait, Wiggy. If you're going to call a press conference in the middle of a clubhouse, mm-hmm. you better make sure. From my perspective, you better make sure that you have all the context. It's all right to react the mm-hmm. way you did initially with Twitter, but you have to your. I think Alex, this is what you were saying. You have hours to get your ducks in the row
to calm down, to read the full comments,
read the whole story, to also, and then this goes to the MLB Network documentary,
right.
Which is clearly you did not watch the whole thing. Because if you did watch the whole thing, you would know that there's about seven teammates in there. That's fine. But this is Wiggy, you're right. This is the problem, is that more times than not, this is how guys are reacting to these little snippets,
right?
Aggregation, tweets, word of mouth. All of it, but he had plenty of time before he had this press conference.
But don't you think it would have been easier for Dennis Eckersley at that point in the Chad Finn article when Chad asked him whatever the question he asked Eckersley about Price to just say, hey, listen, it's 2 years ago, I moved on.
We kind of did say that.
No. But
I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't give a bleep.
But there's more to it, though.
That's basically all he said.
Yeah, but there's more to just going, listen, it's 2 years ago, I moved on. You see the difference in my quote.
He is saying he moved on.
No, but he's saying it.
I don't plan on seeing him. I don't think he cares. I don't really give a bleep.
Wiggy,
I am ready to move on. Granted, it had some edge to it.
Right,
there's no doubt about it. But Wiggy, then
but
Price
you know
goes.
Price is sensitive.
But he attacks Eckersley, saying basically that the guy has no teammates who will vouch for him, no friends in the game. I mean, so you would admit that the response is totally not proportionate.
That's where he went wrong in his response. Because there.
Well, that's what the story is. Like, if this was just Price reacting to Eckersley on Twitter, and if he no commented in the clubhouse, this story would be dead. We would not
well,
be talking
no.
about
if
it today.
If we just
Shaughnessy
had,
wouldn't have a calm
right.
reading
if
the globe
just,
about
if,
it.
If we just
right.
had, if we had the Chad Finn piece, we had the part in Chad Finn's piece, then we had the Price reaction on Twitter, and then we have Alex Cora going on OMF saying, I talked to him in the morning, insinuating Then we put this all in the mm-hmm. background, and there is no press conference. There is no,
right.
hey, everyone gather around. I have something to say. We are not talking about this right
Let
now.
Let me ask you two a question, right? If Eckersley says to, and I don't mean it in the way he said it, if he says to Chad Finn, it's 2 years ago, I moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said. If that's the quote in there about David Price, do you even think we're having this conversation?
No, but number one is that you want it to be a perfect world of him phrasing it exactly that way.
No, this is
about as much of a no comment as you're going to get from Dennis Eckersley. That's how he's wired. But I would say this. Do you think that this was a proportional response to
That was my point. The rant was not a proportional response.
The reason why is because we heard Price say this in that interview where he had talked about how there was an alleged meeting that was supposed to take place. And we obviously know
right.
because you interviewed Eckersley,
right.
which audio was played. There was supposed to be
a month later
where Price wanted to apologize. Price knew, and Price said this. What was that day when he did this press conference?
It was Wednesday.
Right, and
Wednesday.
He goes, listen, I know I was in the wrong. I handled the plane situation wrong. So to me, he was remorseful in the sense of how he went about it. But I think when you look at David Price and who he is and how he is very sensitive, how he does have rabbit ears, you start to see that, okay, he was remorseful, he was wrong, but the more he keeps hearing it from it, and granted, it might be from minions that work in there and saying, hey, you know when that played? No one really liked him. And then he seeked, oh,
let me ask you this. And Alex, maybe you know the answer to this.
I don't know. I should go back
to when Marcus Stroman, when he was having his back and forth with Eck. Did David Price, this is a very small thing, but I think it would be telling. Did he like any of those tweets?
I don't know.
But he did bring up the Stroman.
Well, I do know that Marcus Stroman piled on Wednesday and also tweeted that he agrees with Price that the broadcast is bad.
Certainly we know that, you know, the David Price and Marcus Stroman are together in their view of Dennis Eckersley. We knew that before.
I mean, Jackie Bradley had issues with that years ago. When I criticized
right,
him for
I mean,
going
this
through
his
slump,
this is one of the things about
the
Eck, yeah, and you know, I chalked this up. I chalked that up. And Jackie was really young. He, you know,
yeah,
he was
this is what, like 6 years ago at this point.
Yeah,
I mean,
but I would say this: It is telling, and this is when it came out a couple of years ago, and you talk to people and you talk to players, and I'm not just talking about players right now. I'm talking to players going back to 2013 to 2012, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, no, man, he's critical. We don't like him. We don't like him. Right. And we're sitting there, and we're saying, what? Like, he's really, really good.
But again, you talk about a response not being proportionate. This all started, remember, because Dennis Eckersley said, yes. Yuck. Right. When a bad Eduardo Rodriguez, rehab start a stat line flashed on the TV screen. So that is how this started.
But and so you mentioned we should know that, how sensitive Price
but
is.
But the onus is then on David Price. It is David Price's fault for being way too sensitive.
Why is it his fault? That's the way. Listen, you're very.
Because Eckersley has done nothing.
You just said it. You're amazingly, extremely sensitive when it comes to certain things, right?
Sure.
So. Why it would be like
doesn't mean that it's the right way to be. I can recognize that. I wish I wasn't that way.
I know. So, but that's the point I'm trying to make is you are sensitive. There are other people. So people have to handle you differently, right? The same way you have to handle
me differently.
Yeah, with kid
gloves.
Yeah, because
I don't think so.
Well, you're a little bit. I'm
not handle the kid gloves around here.
Well, I'm not saying around here. I'm just saying in your life.
Yes,
in general.
In my safe space. Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
So it's because
I walk around in a bubble, basically.
Maybe where one person might go, well, why are you getting so sensitive, Reamer? Somebody might go, listen, he's a sensitive person. The same way David Price in this situation, Eckersley should know. Okay, he got upset about Yuck. So when he knows that Chad Finn is going to do a story about this 2 years later, he should in his mind know, go, listen, Yuck got Price to come up on the plane and ambush me. I'm not even going to entertain this situation.
But here's the deal, though. My Twitter mentions are way more vitriolic than David Price's mentions. This guy is revered here, especially after his playoff performance. No one said a bad thing about him for well over a year at this point. Mm-hmm. It's just so random. It's so bizarre. And the issue, again, is the lying about Eckersley. And you mentioned, Wiggy, that 2 years ago, Price expressed some remorse. Maybe he did privately, didn't do it publicly. I mean, 2 years ago, David Price said that some people, like Dennis Eckersley, don't understand how hard this game is. That is an absolutely ridiculous statement, But David Price has continually lied about Dennis Eckersley, whether it was 2 years ago saying he doesn't understand how hard the game is, or Wednesday saying that no teammates will vouch for him. He lies about Eckersley. He smears Dennis Eckersley.
He was wrong about Eckersley on Wednesday as far as the Eckersley documentary on MLB. He was clearly wrong about that. But he made it a point on Wednesday when asked about it to say, I clearly handled that situation 2 years ago wrong. And he wanted to make amends for it. Whether it was manufactured or not, we don't know that. He wanted to make amends for it. And if Eckersley would have just met with him, who knows what would have happened?
Yeah,
they would have been able to mend fences and be like, here's what I have to say.
Shaughnessy writes in his column today, and obviously Shaughnessy's with Eckersley and everybody in Cooperstown, so we know where it's coming from. We know what side he's on, but he says that Eckersley backed out of the meeting when Price doubled down 2 years ago, and that's when Price, I'm assuming, said some people don't know how hard this game is
Well, you go back.
So Shaughnessy says that's why he backed out.
So after it happened, Price had his press conference in the middle of the clubhouse, and this is after they had... The incident happened. They had a series in Toronto. They had a series in Texas, and then they came home. Price deals with it, and for about 30 seconds to a minute, he's saying the right things, and then it takes a right-hand turn. And he's talking about how Eckersley doesn't come in the clubhouse and all the other things he said about Eckersley. So that, I think that sort of put that why should I meet with this guy? Right. Because this is how it's going to happen. And I get that. I think that the biggest thing we have to take away, you say, why did Eck even have the comment that he did? Why did Price act the way he did? This is reality of the situation. Both these guys hate each other.
Right.
And both these guys feel like they were responsible for incidents that have scarred their legacy and their careers and their whole world for years to come.
You say Eck hates David Price, though?
Yes.
Doesn't come through at all during the telecast. I'm sure he's called David Price starts, over the last two years, right?
Well, why would I ever want to meet with him?
Right.
I want nothing to do with him.
One person is professional about this, another
right.
person
well,
isn't.
Well, I would say it comes back to what is the proportional response. And I think Eck's animosity toward Price you know, listen, you asked, does Eck hate? Well, you know, this happened to him. Go back to the original thing. If someone does that to you, we've all had things done to us where we can never get past, right?
Mm-hmm.
For years and years and years. So this is festering. So when they say, I don't want anything to do with him, that's his way of saying, hey, you know what? They come across in different ways of saying how they do not like right. each other. But my point is that, so when you have it, that mentality, when something is brought up, even a little thing, you're going to react to it
right.
in different ways.
And the only reason why we are here in this situation, it's no different like when you think about the Kyrie Irving situation, right? It's about how people feel about the person. People around here do not like David Price because of all the situations that might occur. I'm talking about separately.
He does not help himself.
Right, but I understand that. I'm not saying he does, but separately from the Eckersley stuff, whether it's the Fortnite situation, There are people, when they look at David Price, they think he's whiny, he's sensitive, he's got rabbit ears, which is probably, like you said, he brings a lot of that stuff on him. So when they look at this situation, they're not looking at it from an objective standpoint. They're looking at it from, oh, we all loved Eckersley, and we talked about his history, what he had to go through, you know, being sober for 30 years.
I need to know, is he still cordial with the guy who stole his wife? I mean, he's still friends with Rick Manning, which is unbelievable to me.
See,
that tells you all you need to know about
ex-humility
and the kind of guy he seems to be.
But that seems that, like I said, I don't know Eckersley from a hole in the wall. I've never met him. But people are judging him based on things like that. So they're looking at him and they're going, here's Eckersley. The guy stole his wife and he's still friends with this guy. And isn't he like a godfather or god?
Well, they share a grandchild
something
together,
like that, right?
He's the stepfather of Eck's eldest daughter.
Right. So they love Eckersley. And then he's battled, he's overcome his addiction. And then there's David Price. He's getting paid $30+ million a year. He's whining, he's this. He said some things in the past that we don't like.
But who But outside of David, when David Price gets criticized here, he does it when he goes after Dennis Eckersley and pitches poorly in big games against the Yankees. Price, since last October, has been revered here other Red Sox postseason hero.
I'm not
sure what he's talking about. Why is he so sensitive, David Price?
But
this year especially. No one said anything bad about him.
They haven't said anything bad about him, but when this rears its ugly head again, what side do you think people are going to be on? They're going to be on Eckersley's side.
And as they should be, because this is a one-way feud,
a one-way feud. It's a feud that was started by Eckersley. If he would have just kept his mouth... Not started by him, excuse me, in this column that with Chad Finn. If he would have just left it alone, knowing that Price is sensitive and going, you know what, I'm not even going to answer that question.
Again, I'll say the word, proportional response, and when you come
doesn't
back...
Doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
It does matter,
because Wiggy, I think that if you just left it at the tweets, hey, you know what? I'm going back at him like Stroman did, whatever. You know, so you're going back at Eck because of this one little quote in this big story. Fine. That's fine. And then to have all this time to research, to get some context to it, to talk to your manager.
Going back at it.
And still mm-hmm. have the press conference.
Well, he's taking the high road.
And not just go after Eck, but smear Eckersley
because,
and lie
you know
about
what,
Dennis
you know
Eckersley.
Why?
That
Price,
is the biggest Price problem.
Price is not going to take the high road. Price is like, listen, I tried to apologize to this guy 2 years ago. I haven't had, like you said, I haven't had any issues with him. I haven't been bothered by anything. We've basically been able to coexist without having to cross paths. And now here comes this column where he says some things, in my opinion, kind of with a little smart remark. It's like, you know, it's like that kid who says something and you're like, wait a second, you trying to be nice to me or you trying to take a dig at me? And Price says, you know what, I'm going to go about it the way I'm going to handle it, and that's taking cheap shots.
And then you go out and lay an egg against the Orioles. We have to get to a break. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your calls on this next, but first, here's what's trending now.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I didn't make it personal to start, okay? It's not like I ever started. I always react to Chad Finn.
Hold on.
Trenny.
Got a ton of reaction felt all the time.
Oh, you're talking about this incident. Trenny, seriously, you even know what the hell you're talking about? You have no history at all between Chad Finn and what we've gone through over there with this guy. He falsely reports everything. He's sitting there writing a story about Jerry Callahan getting fired and has yet to talk about how his own colleague is the one that's harassing advertisers that led to it.
Your tweet right here, that's not a personal...
It is, but you think this started it? It's been going on for years, Trenny. You gotta be kidding me.
Lou, that's not what I'm saying. Started it. I'm saying
All right, so don't say that started the whole damn thing personal.
But I'm saying he did not have to. to respond to you the way that he did just because you went personal from the start there. Like, there's no need for it to be personal.
We're both children.
So that's my favorite sidebar to this whole thing, how Lou Maloney and OMF really and Chad Finn going back and forth at each other for days now is even continuing yesterday.
What you did, Alex.
And that was Lou and Trenny on NBC Sports Boston the other night.
I didn't really get that one. She kept saying it was Lou's tweet was personal.
Yes.
But it wasn't. I didn't really see it.
So Lou and Chad Finn have a lot of history. And Chad, of course, wrote a column about Jerry Callahan earlier this week that, you know, failed to mention, I think, a lot of the reality surrounding his departure, which we discussed at length last week. But here's my thing, basically. Like, I don't think Chad Finn, as the person who did write this aggregation heard around the world, I don't think Chad Finn ever really attacked me. But he does have a bit of an aw shucks, like, mentality and trying to distance himself from the quotes that were actually in his article. I mean, you know, Finn said numerous times this week on Twitter to anyone who will ask him, you know, oh, this wasn't a story until WEI aggregated it and then talked about it, like kind of admonishing us,
which
Rob,
surprised
for
me
bringing up this portion.
Yeah, I mean,
of it.
I understand like the mentality, because when you spend a lot of time on a story and you write a big story like
sure.
that, you just want to be praised for this great story.
And it was, by the way, it was a really good profile.
He was praised up and down for a couple days. But and by the way, you weren't the only one to aggregate this. I think the New York papers also aggregated around the same exact time.
Because it's the newsiest hook into the profile. Well, like, I'm sorry. It's a great profile. And as we mentioned, the alcoholism battles.
As I said, Chad should know better. Chad should understand that when you write a story, people are going to take away the most pointed part or the part that people are going to be most interested in. We just surfaced that Dan Shaughnessy column from today. People have already aggregated one quote from Wade Boggs. One quote. That's how it works. Also, Ryan Hannibal brought this up the other day. I thought it was a great point. That Baker Mayfield feature the other day. So he talked very
on
little
ESPN.
Bit. Right. He talked very little bit about the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people were talking about what he said about the Patriots.
Right.
What he said about the Giants fans.
Exactly. But
the Patriots line was half a sentence. It was said that Baker Mayfield thought there was a good chance New England would trade up and select him. That was it.
And
that was already reported
so,
at the time, by the way.
A lot of times when you write one of those stories, you know maybe there's a pointed part of it that might get some traction. You know, you're hoping that, hey, you know, people are just going to appreciate the story and they're going to go right through mm-hmm. it and maybe it won't get surfaced. And really, you know, having written long form things, and you have as well, Alex. Wiggy, I don't know if you've ever written long.
Coming soon.
You did actually the Malcolm X one, right?
Autobiography. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah,
oh, we haven't read that yet.
There you go.
I have some more time.
But when you're writing, much like the Holer story on Ortiz today, you introduced the things that you're going to be talking about toward the beginning of the story, and then you get to it, right? So when you're the theme of Chad's story was all the things that Dennis Eckersley have overcome.
Right.
And that is one of them. I mean, the Manning thing is one of them. The Eck thing is, I mean, I'm sorry, the Price thing is one of them.
Well, I would rate alcoholism one, you know, your teammate is literally sleeping with your wife, you know, number two. The airplane ambush below those. Gibson home run. But
excuse me. Wouldn't he be right then to say then the aggregation.
The word of the week.
The aggregation of the story. Wouldn't that be the reason why this story was sparked in controversy?
Yeah, it is. That's the headline that David Price saw. He saw us tweeted out from our WEI Twitter account.
So then,
absolutely.
Then he wouldn't be wrong to say that you then did start this whole.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't start anything. I just plucked out the newsiest portion of the profile, Price saw.
But that ultimately starts the avalanche down the hill.
Sure, right. But I would say this.
What's wrong with admitting to that?
No, there's nothing.
I admit to it. I've corresponded with Chad a little bit this week. I don't think Chad's taken any personal shots at me. The one thing I will say, though, is like when he tweets out, you know, I really wish this hadn't turned into a bleep storm because all he did was answer my question honestly. Like, why do you regret that this turned into a bleep storm?
Yeah, because
it was a profile that generated the conversation
for
days. That's a good thing.
Chad should just come on the radio and then say what he really feels. But I think what he's doing, because now all we could do is speak for him. I think what he's saying and the whole Lou thing is he's basically saying, hey, listen, this was all started by WEI aggregating the story. And if this never happens, do you think we're in this position?
No, but this was started by David Price flying off the handle. That's who started this.
Right, but does he fly off the handle if the story's never aggregated?
No, but guess what? The quotes, I had the correct quotes
so
in my story.
That's what we're all talking
yeah,
about.
But I had the correct quotes in my story, and if David Price had read the quotes and was a sane individual, he would have understood that Eckersley really said nothing.
As I said, like, you know, this goes back to reading everything and putting everything in context, because I do think that if someone sat down with David Price and said, okay, you got initially mad about this, you saw this post, the aggregation of it, and you responded on Twitter, now we have a few hours, let's read the entire story, let's read about like where he's coming from. Now, if you still want to hold the press conference, that's fine. You know, I had to went through the same thing when, you know, I wrote the story about Fortnite. About Fortnite, Nathan Evaldi.
That's right. I remember this.
Nathan Evaldi.
A few months ago.
Nathan Evaldi, who, you know, he was quoted as saying, basically, like, it was very prevalent in that clubhouse last year, almost at a ton of lockers, very noticeable, and it wasn't noticeable in this clubhouse. Nathan Evaldi, on the record, said, hey, you know what? We just decided, hey, it's not a great look right now. We haven't been playing well, and we got together, and that's fine. That was it. And I didn't put banned in the clubhouse right. at all. It was aggregated, and it was aggregated, unlike Alex, it was aggregated incorrectly.
Right.
With headlines saying Red Sox banned, right. It got all kinds of traction. And you know, I had David Price, I think he was in Chicago the day he was starting, called over reporters because he wanted to vent about this, about banned in the clubhouse. But the thing was, is that he had never read the original story. I know that for a fact.
Right.
He had never originally, when he responded to it, he never read the original story.
And it's apparent to me that he probably didn't read these full quotes from Eckersley. Or if he did, he couldn't decipher them because the response was not proportional.
Yeah, but the response in his mind is a backhanded compliment. So he gets upset with that. And the Dennis Eckersley quote about the David Price thing, in David Price's mind, he looks at that as being a backhanded compliment. So he then gets upset about
that. He goes on this crazy rant.
I think Wiggy's right in the sense of, like, one of the things to take away here is that how players, professional athletes, whoever, react these days. And how they're getting information. Like, I'm saying, I really wish he read the whole Chad Finn story. I really wish he read the whole Fortnite story. But this isn't how it works.
No.
Right? And it should. I mean, let's be honest.
Yes.
It absolutely should. But this isn't how it works. And this is whether you're reading in 140 characters, whether it's reading or getting it word of mouth from your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, or whether you're having somebody in the training room tell you about it, or if you see a tweet with an aggregation. And this is how it works. And that's unfortunate because this is where we're at right now.
But not every app, but few. But David Price, I would say, is an anomaly from the standpoint that
I think a lot of professional athletes are sensitive. We just, you know, I think it just depends on what's going to kind of push them over the top to take it to that next level. And Bradford makes a good point, right? But it's difficult. We're in a business nowadays, and we're at fault of it for being kind of in the media, where we put a lot of things, especially in radio, we take a lot of audio and put them in to make it sound. And a lot of that stuff is taken out of context.
Oh, you mean Ken Laird would take sound out of context? Never.
Right.
Never
happens around here. And so as an athlete, you're in the locker room, you're trying to prepare for a game, you're trying to do all this other stuff, and like I said, you have a guy who might come up to you, who works for the PR department, and goes, hey, listen, this is what was said about you, all right? Here's a story, or here's what's going on social media. And like Bradford says, guy goes to his phone, looks at social media, sees a few things, and now it's like, uh-oh.
But again, the issue is, as I said earlier, I didn't have a problem. David Price's tweets in the moment, the laughing face emoji when you see the headline, that's fine. Today's going to be lit. I mean, you're reacting in the moment. It happens to all of us. But then this rant he went on, which accelerated the story, occurred hours after he had saw the tweet from our account. He should have had time to read the quotes, talk to people, and realize, hey, maybe I don't want to go and smear Dennis Eckersley and turn this into a huge story. And now you mentioned, Rob, that he struggles the other night against the Orioles. I know they're not related, but they are in the sense that this is now the picture. I mean, tomorrow, what's going to be the main Red Sox storyline from the weekend? David Price pounds his chest, goes after Dennis Eckersley again, and then gets his teeth kicked in by the worst team in baseball.
I think it's going to be the Red Sox are going to go to the postseason.
Or Andrew Cowles.
Say this, what's interesting about
more difficult.
What's interesting is that, So you have the David Price star, and I'll stand by it. I say, you know, I think that it's not – David Price has gone through enough of these things where either he's good or bad on the mound. I don't think the other stuff matters.
I mean, yeah, with his playoff performance last year, we can have that conversation.
So, but what's interesting is that – I don't – did you guys hear Alex Cora on OMF on Wednesday?
We did.
So Alex Cora
– we can play that on the other side.
Yeah, and so Alex Cora, when you heard that, you think this – I know that he said it's going to be lit on Twitter – but after hearing him, you're like, oh, he's not going to say anything in the clubhouse, right? So, but then he does. But we still don't really hear anything from Core. He was asked in the media session after OMF, sort of said the same thing, downplayed it. Yet then, after the Price start, he talks about how this is unfortunate that this came up in the middle of the season.
And that's what I think this is, too. And we'll talk about the other side at 617-779-7937. That is David Price going against his manager, who, as you mentioned, Rob, told OMF a few hours before the Price rant on Eckersley that this is, we talked about it this morning, we won't bring it up again. Then Price did do that. We'll do that on the other side. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Right back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
The last thing you guys need, because you're going to be fueling enough questions as it is.
Yeah, but I do feel that it's not going to be a distraction. I really believe that. I know my clubhouse. I know how I do things in the clubhouse. So the only thing that we have to do is play baseball.
Says Alex Cora with OMF earlier this week, and that's the baseball side of this too. So that's Cora Wednesday afternoon saying, we talked about the story, it's unfortunate it came up. And then David Price goes on his rant, his inaccurate, his smear campaign. The Wiggy smear campaign is over. Now it's the Dennis Eckersley smear campaign for David Price. Goes off on him. And then he goes out Friday and lays an egg against the Orioles, gives up two home runs. And now he's back to pariah status, I feel like, David Price, where everything was going so well for him over the last year or so, especially since his incredible playoff performance. Should have been World Series MVP. We agree on that, Wiggy. And now, Rob, he's back to, again, being a pariah because of this.
But you know what?
At least I think it's
all eyewash. It's all good conversation because he can have that bad start and have all the controversy and everything else. We're back to square one in terms of what is the priority with David Price. Right. It is pitching in the biggest games. And this run they're coming up, you know, at Tropicana Field.
Was it 14 straight against the Rays and Yankees?
14 straight against the Rays and Yankees. The loss to the Orioles is whatever.
Right.
Well, it's not whatever, though,
but
Rob.
I understand. You can't lose. You can't lose those games.
But he's been your best pitcher.
But you're talking about back to square one when he pitches. So whenever that is, it's probably Tuesday or something like that. When he pitches, and if he pitches well against the Rays.
Yeah. Sure. But right now the conversation with David Price is more he's back to being
But this is the problem, Alex, that we've had with him, which is whether it's performance on the field or something that he says, we take two steps forward and three steps back. And we talk about spring training, about holding all the cards, and that's his right to say that. But is that something that's going to carry him down the right road?
Let's go back to that spring training press conference. He holds all the cards and then also says, I came back here because of the money. Basically, that's what he said, which is fine.
Again, I don't have a problem. I mean, at least he's honest with that.
But he's obviously a guy who does not care about ingratiating himself to Red Sox fans, which is fine. He doesn't have to, but he makes his life, for a guy like him who's sensitive and for a guy like him who has rabbit ears, he makes his life more difficult when he goes on these tirades against Dennis Eckersley.
That's what I just said.
When he makes his curt comments.
What's baffling, having covered the guy now for, 3.5 years?
Yeah.
It's baffling to me how he has made his life difficult. And I've done interviews with him where you're like, why are you going down this road? And then you talk to him other times, and he's the most informational, nicest guy, and he's a great interview. And it's just weird. It's just weird. I've never been around an athlete who it's almost like, and I don't want to say he thrives on it, but it's almost like he thrives on it. And I think Chad Jennings did a story.
I don't want to say it's like he thrives on it, but he does thrive on it.
Like you would be like, oh, why would anyone thrive off controversy? One second. So Chad Jennings does the story, I think it was last year, on David Price, how he's a jerk the day that he pitches. He's an absolute jerk. He admits it, that he's a jerk. He becomes a different person. Like, I don't get that. I don't understand.
What do you mean you don't understand how a guy could be a jerk on the day he pitches?
Why do you have to be a jerk on the day you pitch? It's one thing to be intense, to not want to talk to people, to have a different mindset, but to, for instance, I remember, and we played this audio on the air, there was a day that he pitched. Hardly any media was in the clubhouse. But David Price, because the starting pitcher has control over the music in the clubhouse, mm-hmm. he jacked it up, this techno music.
That's right.
Jacked it up where you couldn't conduct any.
Sometimes get myself angry in a combative mood. I feel like sometimes that makes for better radio. So we all,
but you
we
know
all
how,
have our
but
own
But you
mind
know how
tricks.
It is from being on this radio station. Like some people are, you know, when. Some people are different. Some people don't want people coming in and out of the studio when they're on air. Some people, you know, everybody handles things differently in the day that they are performing. So in David Price's case, the day that he's pitching, he might be the biggest jerk in the world. When he has his off days, hey, he might be the nicest guy in the world because he handles the day that he has to perform differently.
He's definitely a different cat. I mean, this
hey,
is
not wrong,
this
but
is,
you know that. From
this
him.
Is this is one of the things. This is one of the takeaways. We try to get inside his head, and we try to even to this last start say, oh, you know, was this impacting and whatever. It's. I can't say that because it's impossible to figure out what this guy.
They
talked
to the press Friday night.
Yes,
yeah. And well, we knew that about Kyrie Irving. What was the number? This is a different type of brother.
Same thing. And we try to do? We tried to figure out what he was thinking.
And unlike Kyrie Irving, though, David Price did perform here on the biggest stage.
No. I'm just saying personality wise. Right. So like David Price is a different type of dude, right? People, you Bradford, you know better than anybody else because you're in there. You're able to kind of see him and see how he's. Operating in his world, and he's just a different type of cat, like you said. And I think when you look at athletes, you can't compare every athlete. And I think a lot of people go, well, why does Price have to handle like this? Tom Brady wouldn't have did it that way, or this one wouldn't have did it that way. Athletes deal with things differently. They view the media in different ways. And I think they view them in the sense, they all view them as like they're the enemy. And they can't stand them, but they handle
them
differently.
But David Price he's imagining these enemies because he's had a relatively easy run here in Boston, even prior to last postseason when he had never pitched well against the Yankees, never won against the Yankees in a Red Sox uniform. The criticism levied at Price did not approach the criticism levied at a guy like Sandoval or Carl Crawford or go on down the line of Red Sox busts. I mean, so David Price, as Wade Boggs said, would have melted under a previous time here if he thinks he's had it hard. He really hasn't.
I think what he does, and I don't know this to be true or not, this is just in a certain category, but he also looks at the fans to kind of be like either fueling that or...
But they don't. The fans have done nothing but express their adulation towards David
Price. But I'm talking
about
social media, though. I mean, I bet you on social media, he probably in his mentions or whatever... They're probably dumping all over.
I bet you mine are uglier than David Price's.
It's much like Reamer. It's 50-50.
Yeah, it's no, I don't know about that. It's very hard to top Reamer when people
yes. think. Because I have literally nobody defending me. Yes. At least I'm sure David Price has some
who are
defenders
you,
in his
by
mentions.
The way, who are you having on your first podcast? Do we know?
To be determined. We talk
really?
About what's hot, Rob. As you know, about what's hot. We're not launching
so
for a couple
your podcast
weeks
is like what's just hot in general?
No,
yes, the Lone Reamer.
I want, but as we talked about, this is a prime opportunity, like you said, you have a lot of critics to get one of the critics on and to
well, every week it's a new battle, Rob.
And
we'll see what they're going at
everything
me for.
Every direction, you just whatever direction.
It's all on the table,
Wiggy.
Okay. It's finally my safe space.
Well, you'll be able to really get off, get some of the stuff that's been bothering you off your chest.
I can, yes, exactly.
See, if you do it like that, I'll listen to it.
Wiggy could be a guest. He's on all the podcasts here. Maybe Wiggy could be a guest of mine. We'll have to see.
I've been on the skate podcast, and I think I'm going to be on
the off day.
I know Bradford's trying to get me to be
on the Bradford show.
Trade deadline analysis.
Weekly contributor
on the off day.
Yeah.
No, you can do it whenever you want. I'm just saying. If you want to take it to the next level.
Where are they doing it from? They're doing it from.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
Lord Hobo.
And that's
a Woolburn.
That's a brewery or like a
bar. Oh my god.
I was
it's
with
awesome.
Someone yesterday, Rob, who was drinking Boom Sauce, but they dropped the can and the can broke. Can you believe that?
That's a $100 fine right there.
If I become a weekly contributor, do I get a free six packs a week? of my choosing?
Sure. I will.
Do you have a t-shirt, broom sauce t-shirt, Wiki?
Bradfoe Show t-shirt.
Okay, so me and you are the only two people affiliated with WEEI who don't have boom sauce Bradfoe t-shirts. We gotta rectify that during the break. Coming up next hour.
Okay, I'll whip one up for you.
whip one up, will ya? Tyreek Hill, the NFL opted to not suspend Tyreek Hill. On our airwaves Friday, we had two decorated NFL insiders, Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, who said one of the main reasons why the NFL did not suspend Tyreek Hill is because the full audio recording of the conversation between him and Crystal Espinal exonerates Hill. So I listened back to that. Not the case. We'll play all of that sound on the other side and talk about this issue. It's Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfoe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.